In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. Keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. Today's Bible reading comes from Mark chapter 9. And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzlingly white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? Jesus replied, To be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. O unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, How long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him, and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, He's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, Why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, This kind can come out only by prayer. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. But they did not understand what he meant, and they were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, What were you arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and servant of all. He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Teacher, said John, We saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said. No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me, for whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. And if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. This is the word of our God. Everything has been building to this point, and now the descent to Jerusalem accelerates. The transfiguration, probably, taking place at the northern border of Galilee, so the northern border of all of Israel, at a mountain called Mount Hermon, or Mount Hermon, very high mountain that overlooks most of Galilee. And there Jesus reveals his glory. He speaks with Elijah and Moses. We hear from the other Gospels that God speaks and says, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." The disciples, Peter, James, and John, who are along, are frightened. We hear from elsewhere that Peter says, "Well, you know, we can put up some shelters." He says that here in verse 5. "Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." Kind of the idea there, let me build a tabernacle for you so that you have a place where we can come to worship you here, and we've got a place for the rest of us to stay here on this mountain. I think that's what's going on. Even Peter says, or verse 6 says, he did not know what he was saying. They were so frightened. The cloud envelops them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." That truth is vitally important because the descent down that mountain is just going to keep going. They want to stay on the mountain where everything looks wonderful and everything is orderly and makes sense and they see the glory of God. But when they go down the mountain into the valley, they will see Jesus rejected. They will see Jesus crucified, killed. Well, he gave up his life, and then buried. The descent down the mountain will continue all the way to that grave outside of Jerusalem. Transfiguration Sunday is always the last Sunday before the first Sunday in Lent, or before the beginning of Lent. Lent, of course, begins on Ash Wednesday. So Transfiguration Sunday is the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany. The entire season of Epiphany shows us how Jesus reveals his glory. It begins with the visit of the wise men, and it builds through Jesus revealing his glory in miracle and in word all the way up to Transfiguration Sunday. Because when Ash Wednesday starts, and then the very next Sunday we see the temptation of Jesus, there's the temptation for Christians to think that Jesus is a wimp, that Jesus isn't God. And right here, Transfiguration Sunday, the transfiguration here in Mark 9, reassures us that when Jesus walks to the cross, he's not a victim of circumstance. He goes willingly, because it is his Father's will. And so he says, "Yes, Lord." And so Jesus spends the rest of the chapter teaching his disciples that he needs to go be crucified. And again, they don't get it. "Well, what can he mean rising from the dead? Jesus, you're not going to die." But Jesus, again and again, repeats himself. Even when they're arguing about who's the greatest, Jesus says, you guys are just missing the point. The greatest is the least, the one who comes to be a servant of all. Jesus, obviously, is the greatest. And the path of greatness means following in the path of Jesus and serving as a servant to all rather than saying, put me first. And that kind of discussion goes back and forth, where Jesus shows that he values even the tiniest amount of faith or the tiniest good deed. There in verses 38 to 41, we saw a man driving out demons. And he talks about doing a miracle. I tell you the truth, anyone gives you a cup of cold water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. Jesus says even the tiniest good work, the tiniest deed that is prompted by faith is a beautiful thing because the faith clings to Christ. And that is a beautiful thing. And he kind of concludes with this very stark and sharp illustration. Cut off your hand, cut off your foot, pluck out your eye. You and I know that that does not make a person perfect. Somebody who's blind can still have lustful thoughts. Somebody who's missing a hand can still lash out in anger. Somebody who's missing a foot can still harbor hatred. The point that Jesus is making is he took our salvation seriously, and that meant the cross. And he's saying, dear Christian, don't miss the point. Take your own salvation seriously. Because the fires of hell go on forever. There are no second chances. And there's no end. And so what shall we do? While we stand there on the mountain with our Lord, see him transfigured, we walk down into the valley of everyday life with our Lord, and we seek to live out our faith and seek to serve our Lord in our lives. And yeah, then we gather together for a few brief moments with Jesus in his word on the mountain once more, so to speak, where he says, God speaks, this is my beloved Son. You have nothing to worry about. He has gone to the cross for you. Now listen to him. God bless your day.
Jerusalem, the golden.
Thanks for listening to Green Pastures with Jesus, the audio home of Shepherd of the Lakes Lutheran Church of Fairmont, Minnesota. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our website, www.shepherdofthelakes.net. Pass that along to your friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out our archives section at our website for previous podcasts. You can find us 9:30 a.m. Sunday mornings at 323 East 1st Street in Fairmont, just up the hill from Richard's Towing. Any questions, contact me, Pastor Hagen, 507-236-9572. God bless your day.
What bliss beyond compare.